It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey people, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is season four of Better Let Me Tell You. You know how...
Is it because of Britney?
No. How... Wait, why?
Because Britney just loves Prince. And she, every time she posts, she's like, well, got Prince music.
I don't like Prince because of her. I like Prince because of my brother.
No, yeah.
You know what's so funny? My brother, for being my brother, and you know how my brother is. Hi, listeners. Welcome.
Welcome to episode 177.
We're still in the 170s.
Pero let me tell you, the only podcast that let you know Paula Abdul likes croquetas de jamón.
That was great, right? That was great. So, hi, everybody. Happy Pedal Friday.
Happy Pedal Friday, yes.
Pedal Friday. It's Friday once again. You know what I always want to say on Fridays?
I don't know.
Okay. You're going to know this.
I feel like I know it, but I don't know where you're going with it.
Our listeners of our age will know this.
Okay.
All right? It's Friday night.
And the mood is right.
We're going to have some fun. Show you how it's done. TGIF. That was a little jingle for the TGIF. man, life was good when that's all we did, right?
You knew from 8 to 10 where you were going to be that Friday.
So 8 o'clock was Full House. 8:30 was 8:30 was Family Matters. 9 o'clock was Perfect Strangers. And 9:30 was Just a Ton of Us.
See,
and then when Just a Ton of Us got canceled,
okay,
9:30 was Step by Step.
Was 9:30 Step by Step or was 9:30 Perfect Strangers and 9 o'clock was Step by Step?
You're right. Yes, I flipped them.
Yeah, because I feel like Perfect Strangers was the more quote-unquote adult show, just because it didn't have children.
Right. And then when Full House left the TGIF lineup to be on Tuesdays, then it was Family Matters at 8, right. And then they added like Dinosaurs. And,
right, and Boy Meets World came in and all that. Yeah.
Different era.
Different era, but I still watched it.
Yeah, of course. Boy Meets World, I mean.
To this day, Mr. Feeny is just...
You know, I totally see Mr. Feeny differently now.
Well, because he's staying elsewhere.
Listeners, what was your favorite
TGIF show?
I mean, it's funny because thinking back on it now, in Boy Meets World, when Mr. Feeny, who was played by William Daniels.
Thank you.
I was like, two first names. I was like, where do I know him from? Like, I know, this is not the first time I've seen him, right? But then, so obviously, my first main reference of him is as Mr. Feeny on Boy Meets World. And, you know, who doesn't love Mr. Feeny?
Mr. Right? Feeny!
A communist, right? but then, and I've said it here in the podcast, last year I started watching St. Elsewhere. Like the
Are you still watching it?
I have two seasons to go, but I haven't watched it in a couple of months.
Okay.
Right? But I'm not going to give up on it. And I started watching St. Elsewhere on Amazon, which is a show, it's a hospital drama from the 80s. And
it's on Hulu now, too.
It's considered one of the greatest shows of all time. And William Daniels, Mr. Feeny, played Dr. Mark Craig. And in that show, he was such an asshole.
He's the opposite of Feeny.
The opposite of Feeny. He's not like, I'm going to kill people, asshole. But he was like demanding and like he was like chauvinistic, like terrible. He was even a little racist, right?
Oh, no, not Feeny.
And he won like a bunch of Emmys for that role.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, St. Elsewhere was like
it was award-winning Emmy, Emmy show. Bait, yeah.
And now I see him as Mark Craig. I don't see him as Mr. Feeny.
Really?
Yeah, because I've been watching St. Elsewhere now.
So it's more recent.
Yeah. And man, he was quite the character. Mm-hmm. So, listeners, you.
Me.
Are we watching Squid Game? Are we not watching Squid
Game? So I haven't
seen
it yet, but I'm going to watch it.
Okay. The reason I say... Okay. The only reason... I know what it's about. And I think the concept sounds really cool. Right.
Also, it's scary movie season, so for me, it fits perfectly.
I don't like gore.
Right.
And
right.
From everybody that I've heard that watched it, mm-hmm. it's very gory. The only reason why I would watch it, and you and I have talked about this several times on the podcast and off the podcast. You know, we do speak when we're not recording.
Yes, so when the cameras are or microphones.
That
off.
It's, we don't have shared experiences anymore.
And this is one of them.
This is one of them because it shows like a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like a part of me, it's like, well, I don't want to miss out on it.
I want to talk at the water cooler.
Yeah, I don't want to, what is it? Mofo?
FOMO.
FOMO. No, FOMO.
Mofo is motherfucker.
I don't want to have FOMO.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah. Because I feel that that's something that water cooler moments. But now we don't even have a water cooler because many of us are working from home.
Well, but you want to know what's happening, what people are talking about on the Twitter.
Right.
Shall we say.
On the Twitter.
Yes.
So that's maybe why I would watch it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I did
see Midnight Mass, which is another show that was trending on Netflix a couple weeks back.
What's that show about?
So it's I'm going to describe it and it's not going to sell it. It's basically this guy who... after spending, I think it was like 4 years in jail for a drunken accident that resulted in a death, he has to go back to live with his parents in this small island off, I'm thinking it's like a New England island off the coast of, the north up there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the whole island centers around like the little old church and the priest, and the old priest, went off on a trip and is supposed to come back, but in his place comes this young priest, and then things start to go completely sideways. Mm-hmm. But it's not gory at all. I mean, it has like one or two moments, but it's not gory. It's not even, I would say, scary. It's more like ambiance.
I could do scary. My favorite movie is The Shining, right?
Well, I would compare this somewhat to The Shining in the sense that it's not like jump scares and things like that. I mean, they exist, but it's more about the slow burn.
I could do scary. I could do even violent. What I don't like is gory. Like all these like Final Destination movies and Saw movies. Right. Like
torture porn.
It's funny because the first Saw I thought was genius.
The first Saw, by today's standards, could be PG.
Yes. But I thought that movie was genius. Yeah. And I remember watching that movie. Maybe I watched it with you and saying, you know what? This movie did well. Now they're going to do a sequel and it's going to be like 10 times,
as bad. You have to. If you're going to do a sequel, you always have to go bigger, which is
the same rule. The same with Final Destination. I thought the first Final Destination was good. The concept was good. And it had its moments of like, oh my God. But it wasn't like this gore fest either.
The thing is you have to keep ramping up the deaths with every
That's why I stopped watching American Horror Story. Because
You would like the second part of this season, though.
Well, like, I like the concept.
No. You would like it. It's called Death Valley, and it centers... So it's split between two times. Present day with mm-hmm. Cindy Crawford's daughter, who mm-hmm. is her clone.
With Cindy Crawford?
With Cindy Crawford Jr. And then the other one takes place during the Eisenhower administration, and with Ike and Mamie and Richard Nixon and JFK, because it's all about the aliens. And it's like the aliens landed during his administration and he's struggling with to make the deal and the encounter and all that. So you would enjoy it from that angle.
Is it gory?
It's the only thing so far that has been gory looking is like there's been a couple like exploded heads. But that's like it.
Was the 1984 one gory?
The 1984 one was a bit gory in the sense that it, the whole premise was a slasher movie. Mm. So it was a little bloody.
Mm. I watched this week and I had actually seen the I had seen the poster for it or whatever, cover for it online. And I thought it was fake. I thought it was an exaggeration, but oh no, no, it was real.
Oh Lord.
The HBO documentary, The Way Down.
I saw it.
With it's the story of Gwen Shamblin.
I saw. Okay so there's still two episodes that are going to premiere next year.
Next year. Okay.
Which we're already in October. Next year is not that far away.
I don't mean this.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did. Oh, well, that's why I brought it.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the same.
Okay.
At first I was like, no.
First of all, I mean, it sucks. It's terrible because she died in a plane crash.
Yeah, it was a plane crash a few months ago. With six people.
Yeah, with six people. Mm-hmm. They died in a plane crash. So, I mean, it's terrible what happened to them. And obviously nobody wants that or wishes that upon anybody. But, you know, I'm not joking around. I don't understand how anybody can take somebody seriously with that hair.
Wasn't it wonderful?
Like, I don't even mean it to be facetious. I don't mean it, like, as a joke to be provocative. I can't take somebody seriously, especially who's talking about the things she's talking about in terms of faith and your life.
Right.
And, like, as a life coach and whatever, who has that hair. Because I just don't understand
Can I say something?
So to our listeners.
Oh, yeah. Explain The Way Down. Yeah.
So The Way Down is the story, which I imagine their plane crash was in May.
It was
April, May. Imagine this was into production.
Right, which I think is why I think the last two episodes have been pushed back. Because I think they had to.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm sure it was into production because there's a couple of people that spoke about her in present tense.
True. Yes, right. Yes.
So this story, The Way Down, about
Gwen Shamblin.
So Gwen Shamblin is this woman that she was around for 20 some years. And she started doing these kind of like
lose weight with Jesus books.
Right. Like Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to lose weight. And
if you have a craving, pray instead.
Pray, that right. Bring thing. Jesus into your life.
Right.
And it was all about like praying the food away. Instead of praying the gay away, pray the fatness away, right?
Do you think she did like praying to the oldies? Like right. Richard Simmons?
Right. And then the thing is that her hair got bigger. And this is like a small white woman. Her hair got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I am not kidding, people.
Well, you know what they say.
What?
The higher the hair, the closer to God.
Well, it must be.
Clearly.
I mean, she... And her hair... Like, I don't understand the hair. Like, I just don't... Did she look in the mirror and think that this
She's like,
looks
this
good?
Is the look. This is the look
and then,
I'm going
and
with.
And then what I thought was fascinating was the whole thing. What was it? Bridgeport, Tennessee?
I'm going to say yes, but I don't remember the name.
It's like very affluent and everybody is like white and Christian and they all dress the same. But when I mean they all dress the same, we're not talking about like when you see Mormons or stuff like that. These people are like more stylish, right?
Yes and no, because what I was amazed by specifically with her is obviously as all these ministries do, eventually she branches off and became like, I would say, I don't know about a millionaire, but she became very wealthy. Let's go with that. Her clothes looked cheap.
Right, but what I'm saying is that they weren't wearing una bata de casa like these Mormon girls do.
Right, they weren't like fundamentalists.
Right, they wore like gowns and stuff.
Stylish.
Stylish in their own way, right? Because I love how one lady...
Brentwood, Tennessee.
How one lady was like, oh, you know, the little girls all wear like Victorian-aged little dresses with flowers in their hair. Like, whatever. And it is like a cult.
It
really is like
a
cult.
Well, it still is because it still exists.
And I'm thinking, I just don't understand how somebody can fall into that so easily. And, well, there's a lot of things I don't understand how people fall into things and believe things, especially after last year. But anyway, I just, again, the hair. The hair. I mean, I keep pointing the hair people because you have to see it. We'll post pictures. You have to see the hair.
My favorite is when she was on Larry King. Because that hair looked like it was windswept and then windswept the other way.
In the 90s, she had big hair, but it was like 90s
big hair. 90s big hair. With layers. Right.
It was like really big. It was even bigger than what big hair in the 90s was, but it was still passable, right?
Right. By the time, by the end, Dolly Parton would have been like, it's too much.
Her hair in the 90s would have been like, she teased too much this morning. Right. But nothing like... alarming. But now in the 2000s, it's like, but no. And in the documentary, how it starts off, that they show the scene of the plane crash, and then you think it's one thing, and then they switch to her deposition 2 years earlier, and then they put her image. And when I first saw it, I was like, what? That was real? The picture of her I saw was real. So I mean, people, I mean, watch it.
Yeah, check it out. It's
check it out. Crazy. HBO's not paying us for this.
No, at all.
It's just one of these. It's a quick watch, and it's just
you realize how crazy
some people can be.
It's insane. It's insane. It's so funny. I've been wanting to bring it up to you, and I totally forgot about it. I saw it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Crazy. I wonder how much hairspray she used.
Well. I mean, maybe that's just a gigantic hole over the ozone layer, like over her house, you know? So let me ask you something.
Name it.
Has the state of Florida Department of Economic Opportunity sent you a bill or anything in recent months?
Is this a trick question?
It's not a trick question, but it's a segue into the next topic.
Not that I know of. Should I?
Well, because after 18 months of many people reporting problems receiving payments from the state's unemployment system, many people in Florida are now receiving bills because the Department of Economic Opportunity is saying they were overpaid.
Oh, good luck getting that money.
So now they're sending invoices and asking people to pay back.
Well, I didn't fall for unemployment, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Okay. No, you know, I know many people left and right, you know, were like, well, if my business is down, let me get into it. What I find fascinating...
Was that unemployment or like PPP loans or...
Unemployment.
PPP.
PPP. No, yeah. Unemployment.
Really?
Unemployment. And what I find fascinating about this is something that, you know, we talked about, you know, way back when it was happening is these are people who... I mean, of course, there's always been left and right. But many of these people are saying like, listen, I was trying to get a hold of you to tell you that this had been done, but I could not get through on the phone.
I could not get through online.
I will say this. Because they were like, you know, they're like, okay, fine, I owe you $1,000, but I told you that I...
Okay, I will say this. I did do. I did file several people's unemployment claim, right?
Oh, okay.
Right. So I am familiar with the system, the process. Right? Yeah. And the little man walking in the queue on the computer. I'm very familiar with that. For months, it was impossible to get in touch with them. Impossible. And then you would log on, and then you would wait like an hour for the little man to walk till the little end and say, you're next, and then it would freeze. When you would log on, it would freeze.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you couldn't call them. So yes, it was impossible to contact them. Completely impossible.
Right. But now the state of Florida is just like, we don't care, it's your fault, pay us.
To how many people?
I don't know that they have an actual like number, like a final number. But hold on, I'm looking through it now. Yeah, it doesn't say how many. It just says that there's people who are starting to receive these letters. You know, there's one guy who like owes, you know, $800. Okay, fine. You know, but at the end of the day, if you were filing for unemployment, chances are you don't have those $800.
No. Good luck getting that.
So, I mean, thoughts? I kind of want to just
throw it all depends. Like if somebody got overpaid, you know, tens of thousands of dollars,
which I doubt,
right? That's one thing.
Which I doubt.
You know, if somebody was getting, because, you know, even if I would have filed for unemployment, if I was getting deposited $3,000 every week, I would have been like, wait.
That's too much.
There's something wrong here.
Right, like, right. You know? But if you've been trying to tell them there's a problem, I mean, for all intents and purposes, like, you know what? It sucks, but that money's been spent. Granted, I get it. It was not yours to begin with, quote unquote, right? But you tried to do the right thing.
You know,
this person was contacting.
And also the whole methodology and the whole, you know, the whole thing of how they do unemployment. And then there was like the federal bonuses that they were giving to or supplements to unemployment. Mm-hmm. Most people didn't really know how much. If you would get, let's say,
that's true too,
$675 a week, you weren't really sure how that number was calculated.
Well, because this was also a situation that was out of the norm.
Right.
This was not your normal. Bueno, I got laid off and I filed for unemployment, and you know, there was the COVID element, there was the national unemployment, there was the local unemployment, there's just so many elements, mm-hmm. and yeah.
Yeah.
So now these poor people are stuck.
Welcome to Miami.
Yes, all beaches to Florida.
So are we excited about the new James Bond movie?
I'm nowhere near as excited as you are. But that's because you're the bigger Bond fan.
So let's talk about Bond, because we talk about every other. So let me ask you something. Well, you and to our listeners, yes. We're now transitioning into movies, into Bond.
Da-da-ding.
So, da-da-ding. As a casual viewer,
okay,
how do you see, like, what do you think of when you think of Bond or the Bond franchise or Bond movies? Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite era? You know,
I don't have a favorite era.
Interesting.
The only era I think I would say by default almost is my favorite era is Daniel Craig, and the only reason I would say that is actually because every time that they're playing one of his movies on BBC America, Jose will always leave it on, mm-hmm. and I feel like I just always kind of catch it,
right.
So that's the ones I'm most familiar with because of that, but not because necessarily I don't have anything against him as Bond, but I'm just saying it's not like I'm like, oh my god, he's the best Bond ever. It's just that's the one I.
So as a casual viewer,
I still kind of think of Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, because the reason is, you know, I'm trying to approach this because, you know, for those of you who don't know,
go in depth.
I love Bond. You know, people have Superman, people have Batman. I'm not into none of that stuff. I'm into James Bond.
You're not into superheroes. Like, you're into super spy.
I'm into spy. The spy.
The super spy.
And so I imagine that I approach Bond like the same way. I mean, look, I love Star Wars. I'm a big, big fan of Star Wars.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But every time I say about me being a fan of Star Wars, I always say that with caution. No.
There's an asterisk.
Because I'm not obsessed with Star Wars. Like, I have Star Wars t-shirts. I have all the movies. I always watch all the movies when they come out. But I'm not like that Star Wars fan.
Right.
But I am that Bond fan.
Yes, you are.
Right? So I asked that because I...
So much so that we're going to go see the movie tonight.
Yes. I asked that to see how mere mortals, like, okay. what they think of, you know, the series. Like, do you watch it casually? Like, do you... Like, what is it about it that you like?
Hola, mi gente. It's National Hispanic Heritage Month, where we celebrate the contributions and influence of Hispanic Americans to the history, culture, and achievements of the United States.
And this year, we're teaming up with Lay's to celebrate what makes us 100% American and 100% Latino.
Flavors like limon, chile limon, and cheddar jalapeño celebrate the flavors we all know and love with that unmistakable Lay's quality.
So grab your bag of Lay's limon, chile limon, or cheddar jalapeño this Hispanic Heritage Month and enjoy flavors that celebrate who we are.
After all, we all know you gotta have Lay's.
Pero do it con sabor.
Oye, mi gente, Ish here, and I am here with Victor from Sweet Dogs, and we're chatting here because it's Hispanic Heritage Month, and as you know, we've partnered with Lay's to bring you some foods that are 100% American, 100% Latino, and really just bring out the best of both cultures, right? And so, of course, had to talk to Sweet Dogs here on A Street. I mean, you guys have been here for over 10 years now. And,
yeah, going on 10 years, ish. Yeah,
and all of your dogs, for the most part, have like a Latino, you know, element to it.
Flair,
right?
To it. That was the whole concept, exactly, of doing that. And like you said, Gallo Ocho, you can't go wrong, you know?
No.
Almost 10 years. And that was the whole concept of doing that when we wanted to go ahead and get this together. Not just your traditional, you know, relish and kraut. We wanted to definitely you know, take care of business just like we did right now. Imagine plátano maduro and an egg.
Oh my God, we just had the Miami Lays dog on top. And we put some jalapeno Lays chips on it. Oh man, that was so good.
You still got the other quarter.
I'm saving a piece of it for later because I mean honestly, like, it's freaking delicious is what it is.
Awesome, man. But I'm happy you're happy.
What inspired you though to do that, you know, to say
the God's honest truth ish is it's very simple. You know, I don't come from a background of a kitchen or a chef or any of that. I mean, you know, I've had other different businesses, but I just, you know, when the fair would come, you know, aquí en Tamiami, I would love the Italian sausage, you know, and then you would grab it and it was like, you know, it looked amazing. And then it was like stale. And then I said, you know, if I ever do anything, like, you know, I'll do that. Then from traveling, Chicago, New York, Boston, everybody up north, that's what they have.
Some good hot dog cities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They literally eat, like, you know, we do the rice and beans here. That's their gig.
It's very American. Yeah.
I wanted to give it that flair, you know, and thank God that's what we've done over here.
So how did you settle on what has now got to be my favorite thing to ever put on a hot dog, which is the platanito hot dog, the sweet plantains?
No, man, you know how it is, just inventing. We got on the king and we started inventing, putting stuff together. Exactly. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Vamos a hablar claro, you know?
This is very true.
And the whole idea also was, you know, to have all the six ingredients and you have, you know, a sweet savory, then a crunch also, maybe one sauce, you know, not overdo it with the sauces or overdo it, you know, with a crunch. Right. And people are taking a good liking to it.
Won't even put like ketchup on it or anything.
Fair enough. If you just want to do a little mustard, I mean, we got mustard, deli mustard. You knock yourself out. But you know, for the most part, everybody, you know, they do their own thing.
Yeah, and of course, you also have a fried egg. Which again, growing up, you know, Latino, Cuban. When you have, you put a fried egg on a burger, you put a fried egg on rice, put a fried egg on
everything.
I'm pretty sure I put it on a waffle at one point, right?
Like, fair enough.
But you found a way to incorporate it into a hot dog.
Yeah. Like, no, and it works. You tell me.
I cannot tell a lie.
Yeah.
It does. I don't have a word better than it works. Yeah. And I wish I did because it's so damn good.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Not going to lie. Yeah. As we were talking earlier, you know, we made the hot dog, and you know, the beauty of it is that you can kind of make it your own, right?
Yeah.
You can make it, and again, that's one of the things that we love about, you know, embracing our culture.
Of course.
Right? You know, as Hispanic Heritage Month continues, and you know, we're really taking things that really show that we're part of both sides of the culture, right?
100%, definitely. 100%
Americano, 100% Latino. Yeah. You know, just like Lay's does with their flavors, you know, like their limón, like their jalapeño. Mm-hmm. It's really the coming together of those two cultures in a way that's unique.
It's a nice blend.
Still delicious.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. Hey, Victor, thank you so much for stopping by and chatting with us, man. And
no, thank you for having me. Like I said, we got to do it again, you know?
Absolutely. So, no. You're not getting rid of me now, my friend. You're not going to get rid of me.
There you go.
You're like down the street from me. You're not getting rid of me.
No, I know. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know?
We'll find out. But what I do know is that, you know what? When you got to have Lays, pero do it con sabor. Pero let me tell you. I mean, it's just a fun watch. You know what I mean? Like, it's, and again, I think it depends on the ones that you're watching, because when you've got, like, I think anything pre Daniel Craig, it's science fiction almost compared to Daniel Craig. I mean,
because
Daniel Craig is, I believe, of all of them, perhaps the most grounded in reality.
Him and Timothy Dalton.
Okay, but I always forget about Timothy Dalton.
No. Timothy Dalton, so here's some. I have, obviously, I have a lot of opinions about Bond. And if you don't like Bond, this next segment will probably not be your favorite.
You may want to fast forward at least 10 minutes.
I'm going to try to be briefer than that. But obviously, when you're talking about a franchise, every actor brings in a different style to the franchise. And particularly with Bond, because this is not like a superhero movie or even a Star Wars movie or a Star Trek movie it's more of an ensemble, right?
True.
This is all him. Like, the actor who plays James Bond carries the whole movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Multiple movies.
And each actor obviously defines an era. And it's interesting because when Pierce Brosnan got James Bond in the mid-90s for GoldenEye in 1995, I think that Pierce Brosnan is the epitome of James Bond in terms of like how he looks in a suit.
Yeah, well, right? When people think James Bond,
he's very classy.
They think
right?
Pierce, yeah.
And it's interesting because looking on it now, his movies are not aging well. The Pierce Bronson movies are not aging well because the problem with the Pierce Bronson movies is that the first one, GoldenEye, was in 95. So a lot of those movies were based on emerging technology at that time.
Okay. So it looks
because
very
it
dated.
Was the mid-90s right. where technology was blowing up. The internet and all was like in its infancy insofar as popular culture, right? And a lot of it, you look at it now and it's like, oh my God, like
we're so
like they're not aging well,
right.
And it's interesting because Pierce Bronson, since you know when he came out, I was like a teenager, and then by the time he ended, I think I was in my early 20s or whatever. He was like the Bond of, like, you could say my formative years, if you will.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I thought he was great, and I knew Pierce Bronson from Remington Steele.
So you already had goodwill towards him,
And Remington Steele, he was always wearing a tux. So this seemed like a very natural
next
evolution,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like his movies, but again, looking back on them, they're not aging well. Daniel Craig, when he got the franchise, I was like, who is this guy? And he's blonde. Bond is not blonde. Bond is not blonde.
That is such a superhero geek thing to say.
It is.
That is such
I'm like,
a
who is this guy?
Geek
and I remember that, like, he got a lot of bad press. But the moment I saw Casino Royale, I'm like, oh,
it's a great movie.
This shit got serious. Yeah. Because he is like a darker, grittier Bond. And it's interesting.
They sort of rebooted the franchise with him.
Well, they did.
Yeah. I mean,
they
for all intents and purposes.
You really have to be like a really big geek to understand the nuances of James Bond. Because prior to him, prior to
Daniel
Casino Royale and Daniel Craig, it was a continuation.
Oh, that's true.
It was. Because there's, for example, in the Pierce Bronson movies, I forget which one in particular, Pierce Bronson as Bond says that he was previously married and it didn't work out, which he was. James Bond got married on Your Majesty's Secret Service.
But that was not Pierce.
But
that
it was not. It was a continuation. But with Casino Royale, it was a reboot.
Right.
That's what a lot of people don't realize. That's why they started with Casino Royale.
Because that's the first book in the series. Because
it was the first book. So, and Casino Royale is probably in my top five Bond movies.
Okay.
And I love what he brought to it. I know I'm going to offend a lot of people with what I'm about to say. And I'm really sorry. Actually, I'm not.
Sorry, not sorry?
I think Roger Moore ridiculed I mean, I don't blame it on Roger Moore.
Yeah, like, it's not like he was the director
like
and the writer.
This was
and
his
like, right,
doing.
Right.
But I think the Roger Moore era is...
How many movies did he do?
He did five.
Is he the one that has The Unofficial?
No, that's Sean Connery.
Oh, okay.
I think they're awful. I think they're just awful. The Roger Moore movies, they're ridiculous. Like, the love scenes are so exaggerated. I mean, Octopussy. I mean... Octopussy, like the sex was just terrible. Porque he was like middle aged.
See, yeah, he wasn't.
Yeah, he couldn't pull off that. And then he wasn't athletic either. He didn't really look that great in a tux.
There's
you know?
A sweet spot in terms of age
yeah,
that you can get away with playing Bond.
And it was terrible. It's interesting because
¿Cuál son los de él?
The Live and Let Die.
Okay, which is funny, such an iconic theme song.
Thunderball. I'm thinking of the songs. A View to a Kill. The Man with the Golden Gun. I'm thinking like song wise because I'm like I'm thinking of my playlist of the Bond songs, and the movies look older. The Roger Moore movies look older mm-hmm. than the Sean Connery movies.
Oh, but that's also that whole 70s, 80s thing, which
yes.
I don't understand
yes.
what happened.
And then,
in
you know,
the, 80s.
The best, the only good thing about the Roger Moore era was that in the last movie he did, A View to a Kill, Grace Jones is in it.
Well, I mean, come on, guys. We got Grace Jones in View to a Kill. We got introduced to Femke Jensen in GoldenEye, yeah. Ivana Onatopp.
So.
And in this one, we get to watch your family on screen.
Yes, Ana de Armas. Ana de Armas really is related to me, people. Yes, she I don't know her. I don't know her. But her grandfather and I think my... Well, I think... No, I know. My grandfather are related.
Not okay, related. They're brothers.
They're brothers.
Yeah. It's not like... They're not like primo lejano. Yes, like, yes. They're brothers.
We actually are related, but yeah. I don't know her. I've never met her. My parents left Cuba way... Well, she was born and raised in Cuba.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's what? 30-something? So,
yeah, 30-something. Maybe. Early 30s. Yeah, or whatever. So. It's interesting because for the in the James Bond world, if you ask... Any person into that's into Star Wars, okay. What's their favorite movie? What is the answer?
Empire?
Always? Of course, right, Empire Strikes right. Back. And it really is. It is the best movie.
It's the best movie, yeah.
It
yeah.
is by
it,
far.
It does everything.
And it's funny because I remember, I'll, you know a lot of this in terms of like, what's our fans' favorite movies like in the internet age? Right,
but way back.
But I remember being in high school and thinking, this is like the best movie in like the True. Whole franchise. Well, at that time.
At that time, yes.
But it still is. Today. With Bond, you ask any Bond fan what is the best movie or what is one of the best movies, and their answer will always be On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Really?
Which is my favorite Bond movie. And it's John Lazenby, the guy who did Bond once.
Excellent documentary on him on Hulu.
Yeah. That is my favorite movie.
Now we've talked a lot about documentaries in this episode. Yeah,
that is my favorite movie. And that movie is freaking insanely good. And you know, it's so interesting that was always my favorite Bond girl.
Okay.
Teresa. Not realizing that it was the amazing Diana Rigg.
Oh.
Yes.
Imagínate tú. Era una niña.
Yeah, Diana Rigg.
Because that was pre-Avengers.
That was 1969.
And when was the Avengers?
It was around that time.
It was around that time. Oh, okay. Right.
That, you know, she would be kicking ass some decades later on Game of Thrones.
The woman didn't know how to do anything else.
What I liked about her Bond... I like Bond women, Bond girls that kick ass. Okay. I don't like the, oh, James. No.
The quote-unquote love interest.
Right. You like she kicked ass. Okay. And this was like early Bond. This was...
That's true. They were still damsel in distress. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And she was not that, you know... She was one tough cookie. It's just that it's a great movie. It's a really good movie. And a lot of times, it was one of these movies that initially the critical review was not great. And, you know, he did Bond only once. So people like wrote it off. But right. Obviously in retrospective reviews, it's up there.
And he just decided he didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
That was, there's no story there, really. It's just.
What's your favorite Bond song?
You know, I'm going to have to go with GoldenEye.
With Tina Turner?
Well, because it's Tina Turner.
I don't think that's a great song.
I love that song. I love that song, and I love the remix.
Okay, there's a dance remix to that song?
Of course there is.
Notice that I knew that it was a dance remix. Okay, Bond songs should not have a dance remix.
This one is great. You'll listen to it later. You'll like it. You'll like it, I promise.
Oh. I think my favorite Bond song is probably The World Is Not Enough.
Sheryl Crow?
No,
that's garbage. Sorry.
No, Sheryl Crow's is like the worst Bond song.
No. Sam Smith's is the worst.
That is the worst. No, no, Sam Smith is not the worst. I think the worst Bond song, the second worst
or tied Bond song for worst
is, and it was such a disappointment, was the Bond song. I don't even know the name of it. I think it's called No.
The King?
The one with Alicia Keys and Dete. The White Stripes. And I remember...
I forgot that was even a thing.
I remember when they said that was going to... They were going to do the Bond theme.
Right.
I excited. Was like, this is going to blow your mind.
I totally forgot that even existed.
Because it's Alicia Keys and it's the guy from the White Stripes.
Jack White.
Jack White. This is going to blow your mind. Actually, I take it back. My favorite Bond song is not The World Is Not Enough.
Nope. It is You Know My Name.
You Know My Name by Chris Cornell. Best Bond song.
You know what? I'm gonna bump Tina to second, and I'm gonna go with that because
you
that,
know my name is like freaking insanely,
especially
good.
The extended version.
Okay, I was gonna say, is there a dance remix to that?
No, but maybe there
Chris
is.
Chris Cornell should not be part of the Thunderpuss remix.
Listen, anybody should be a Thunderpuss remix, and everybody should be able to dance.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that, but yeah. Yeah,
yeah. The extended version of that song is
one so year. One day I will have my Bond themed party where I will make a grand entrance. Oh, hell yeah. To the Bond theme. And we know who's going to plan it. So I want ice sculptures.
Esto lleva 20 pico años ya que lo está diciendo
Claudio. And I'm going to have it one day because you know why? Okay. You know why? Because
is it going to be the same year you're going to dress as Zangief?
No.
For Halloween? That's
different. No, no. You know why? Because if I do my Bond party, I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to have some Mickey Mouse Bond party. You know?
I agree. If you're going to do it right.
Right.
I agree.
Right. I'm going to do it.
But I have seen no forward movement.
That I'm going to do it in a hall. I'm going to rent casino like crap tables.
Okay.
I want an ice sculpture of 007. I want to make a grand entrance. Like, yes.
Okay. Steph, empieza a sacar la cuenta.
Yes. You know, I'm always very under the radar and I'm very low key and whatever. For that, I don't want to. Like,
how would you do a subtle Bond party?
Welcome to my subtle Bond party.
I mean, like, that's taking the theme of being a spy to a whole other level. We're so deep undercover, it doesn't even look like
a Bond party. Like, I want it all out. Like, I want, yeah.
So. Listen, I encourage it. I say do it.
Yeah, but it costs a lot of money.
Oh, bueno, eso sí.
Hay que arreglar la casa y, you know.
I mean, like, you're a homeowner now. Yeah, things take priority.
La casa, yeah. La hipoteca, yeah, for 1K.
Start a GoFundMe.
Hi, GoFundMe. Hey, everybody. You know, forget those little kids that, you know, those people that have cancer or have had terrible things happen to them.
I want
to
throw
my Bond
party. A Bond party. Can you please?
But it's going to be the greatest Bond party ever.
Right. I mean, just because you give me money doesn't mean you're going to get invited, but I'll send you a picture.
Like, I have, like, all these thoughts. Like, I would have to sit down with Stephanie. Like, I would want, like, for when you come into the hall, for there to be, like, a set, like, okay, a little set to, like, look like an office, and somebody dressed up as Moneypenny is the one that lets you in.
Oh, okay. So she's checking the guest list.
Yes. Okay. But there's, like, a little set. Like, we're going to build a wall, damn it. We're going to build, like, it's going to look like a little office, okay, right?
It took Stephanie a long time to blow up the balloons. Right. It's going to take her twice as long to build all this carpentry.
She's going to have to bring a miter saw.
Yeah.
But we know who has a miter saw.
That's true. We do know who has a miter saw. So you know what? We're halfway there. We are halfway.
Yes. What? Yes. And then, like, the invitations are little dossiers. You know, like, I've been, like, 20 years thinking about this.
Okay.
Listeners, can I make a suggestion? You're invited to my Bond party.
Can I make a suggestion about the invitation? Okay, because, you know, nowadays people do, like, digital invites, which I agree, it's great, no carbon footprint, blah, 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 whatever. But with that said, can I suggest that you find that paper that's, like, the carbon thing?
Carbon copy?
So, like, after they open it up and they read the invitation, it just...
Oh, wow. It's self-destructive.
Yes, it self-destructs. Exactly. I mean, look, if you're gonna go all out, go all out.
Yes, these are all the ideas for my Bond party. Like, I've been 20 years thinking about my damn Bond party.
If anybody out there would like to sponsor this party, we will take sponsors.
And then, of course,
we'll make it a better let me tell you thing if that's what it takes.
We're gonna have a martini bar.
Of course, we have to. Yes,
of course,
we have to have martinis.
Right, and then what I kind of want is, in, like, the whole party.
Does Bacardi have a vodka? Because maybe they can sponsor this.
Sure.
Listen, I'm thinking.
So what I'm thinking also is, like, throughout the hall, to have on, like, pedestals or, like, stands.
Okay.
Like, different go-go Bond girls. Like, is that
like go-go
thing?
Dancers. Go-go dancers. Right,
but be iconic Bond.
Okay, so, like,
we'll have the golden one.
One girl will be golden. The other one would be dressed
Being, like,
as...
the bikini.
Another one would be Grace Jones.
Right. Of, like, the really famous Bond girls.
Ooh,
like,
I like this.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, or the Ursula Andress one.
Yeah. You are the one with the bikini.
Oh,
the
yes.
famous bikini. And that, for me, is the double one. Because that's also Ursula Andress of... Bond girl,
yeah.
And Mariah Carey.
Mira.
From Honey. Let's not forget Mariah Carey was a Bond girl in Honey.
That's true. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
I'm thinking now what I would wear.
No. It's black tie.
Yes.
It's black tie.
Yes.
So I could just imagine telling my father, you have to get a tuxedo to come to my party.
Actually, your father would be very happy.
Yeah, no, but everybody will be like, I have to rent it. Yes, you are renting a damn tuxedo.
Yes, but I would rent, like, a fun tuxedo. Like, I wouldn't just go, because, you know, I'm not just going to show up and, like I'm going to prom.
I love how we're talking about my Bond party, you know, on our podcast. My Bond party, that's not happening. But listeners, don't you want to come to the Bond party?
It's not this year.
Don't you want to come to this Bond party? You're all invited.
Everybody, show up.
Yeah. So, okay, let's move topics.
Moneypenny will tell you if you're on the list or not.
Yes. Okay, isn't that a great idea? It's like a window out a hall, and you think it's this grand entrance, but it's a little office.
Yeah, it's like when you go to speakeasies.
Right. It's like, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like a little office and you're like, what am I doing here? And then it's somebody who's Money Penny. And she's like,
you know, the only thing I'm thinking of though.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Okay, because obviously this requires renting, you know,
a hall.
Well, forget the hall. This requires renting talent. You know what I mean? Because you're renting models and you're renting whatevers. And we live in Miami. So I can't wait to hear what that Cuban accented British accent is going to sound like. Hello, I am Money Penny. Like,
and you know that I'm coming in and Aston Martin.
Well, duh. If not, yeah. why are you going to throw the party?
So, okay, next topic, because I'm getting carried away here. Now I really want this party to happen now. This needs to happen. Like,
I want this party to happen.
Is anybody out there wants to sponsor my party? So
feel free. Right,
feel free.
Feel free. I don't know how to switch over from that party.
That's
because what I actually was going to talk about is such a downer.
No, well, you know.
Did you hear about the nurse that got fired from Jackson Memorial Hospital after a weeks-long investigation?
No.
Well, this nurse in Jackson Memorial was apparently sharing photos of a baby that was in the NICU with a condition where the intestines move outside of the body.
Oh my gosh.
And this nurse, she was posting them on Instagram. She was posting them to her stories with captions like, "My night was going great, then boom." Then, also, the next caption is, "Your intestines supposed to be inside, not
Are
outside,
you serious?
Baby." Yep, and she also included the hashtag, and I'm probably going to pronounce this incorrect, gastrocesis. It's the condition.
That actually happens.
That is a birth defect that causes baby's intestines to exit through a hole beside the belly button, causing the organs to be visible on the outside body. So, yeah, that's one of those only in Florida stories where I'm like, dude, why would... Okay, la gente...
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Like, what did you think? Did you think no one was going to find out? You're posting... First of all, you're posting a picture of a baby. Let's start with that. Like, right? And it's not your kid. Okay? You're a nurse. That's a HIPAA violation. And on top of that...
And it showed the baby's face?
I mean, at that age, I couldn't tell one baby from another, to be honest with you. But you know, it's like, coño, what did you think? Like, people were just going to be like, ha, 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 how funny. You know, like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That's terrible. That's awful. What a horrible human being.
I mean, I can't.
What a horrible human being. Wow. I'm thinking maybe the parents could sue her.
Well, I was actually going to ask you about that.
The only thing I can think of is like negligent infliction of emotional distress.
Is it a HIPAA violation?
Well, yeah, right, but that's the parents don't have standing to sue on a HIPAA violation.
No? Oh, it would be a baby.
No, it would be like the hospital and all that. She lost her employment, so...
Yeah, so she's been taken care of for her.
it's terrible. That's awful. And it's awful because when you first said that, I don't know why I assumed, this is me being naive, that she posted it for like thoughts and prayers, like, oh, pray for.
Okay. You know. Yeah. Like poor baby. Right. That's not naive. That's a very sweet reason to think that she was doing
it. No. To like make fun and ridicule this newborn.
Yeah. Life. With this condition that.
Oh, what an awful human being. She's not coming to my bond party.
No, she's not invited. And another person who's not invited is, and I got this from our friend Billy Corbin. He posted this. Florida man sues hospital.
I was saying Joe Carollo's not invited, but Joe Carollo will probably shut down my bond party.
How great would that be, though? Can you imagine to be like...
No, that would not be great.
Okay. It wouldn't be great, but it would be like, wow, can you imagine like my party was shut down by one of the Miami-Dade commissioners?
If my party gets shut down, then let it be shut down by like the freaking president of the United States.
Wait,
like,
but how loud is this party? That they're hearing it in D.C.? So Billy Corbin posted this thing. There's a Florida man sues hospital to treat wife dying of COVID with ivermectin and quote unquote no ventilators. Director of UM Institute for Bioethics and Health Policy says, and this is the only reason I brought it up, quote, you may as well swing a dead chicken over your head at midnight and hope that works.
Wait, he sued for what?
So the guy, this Florida man in Palm Beach, it's a Palm Beach County hospital, is suing the hospital because the hospital will not treat his wife.
Not vaccinated?
I'm assuming. He wants her treated with the ivermectin, the horse dewormer thing, and without ventilators.
Oh, so the lay person is going to do the medical correct diagnosis and medical plan of the patient? Right.
He is suing so that they treat his wife how he, with the medical course of action that he wishes.
Why can't I be on those juries?
I mean, does he have any... And let me preface this. This is where I'm going with this. I know you're looking at me already like with tremendo side eye.
No.
But let me finish. When you have to make medical decisions for the other person, you could obvious. If I don't know what state she's in, but let's say when you're making you're the, I forget, the power of attorney, let's say, or whatever. You can deny certain treatment.
You're making medical decisions of those that are offered to you.
So he could say no ventilator.
Because if they
tell him your wife needs to be put on a ventilator or she's gonna die,
that's a good question. I'm not sure if being put on a ventilator would be fall under I can never say the word resuscitation.
Okay,
resuscitation. I'm not sure if that would fall under it because that's a very like slippery definition of it. But when you deny. When you deny like something like a blood transfusion or something like that, because it's based usually on religious reasons, it's decisions that you're making that are offered to you on a standard of care, on the standard of
care. Everyone is given this option. Right,
on the standard of care that is a standard that is, it's the standard of the medical profession or the medical field or of a doctor of that specialty.
I.e., this is whatever. What we do in these cases.
This is what we do, right? You can make that decision or not if you have the power of attorney or you have the legal mechanisms to do that.
Okay.
Right? But you, Mr. Layperson, you know, who probably did your research on Facebook. well, let's talk about that in a minute. Who did your research on Facebook and Google. You are not the one to be giving a medical diagnosis, a medical treatment plan, you know, and a prognosis. Like, you're not the person to do that.
Right.
So you... I would just be interested to see like this lawsuit, like what the counts are, and what the legal standard is. Just from a writing perspective, like
right.
You know, on or about, you know, so and so date, I took my wife to this hospital and I told the doctors they needed to give her horse medicine.
Right. And they the doctor said no.
Like what standard of care was breached? Like
equestrian care. Yes. Right. Yes.
So,
yeah.
Is this an only in Florida thing?
Well, it's Palm Beach County, so it must be.
Oh yeah, didn't Only and Dade have a proclamation this week?
They did. Congratulations.
So congratulations,
that's
Only
right.
and Dade.
Congratulations
to our
guys.
Friends in Only and Dade. Yes. They had a proclamation.
They had a proclamation, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a really nice certificate to hang on your wall.
It really is.
A proclamation.
Maybe one day we'll get one.
Pero let me tell you, Day.
Yeah. What day would you like it to be?
That's a great question.
See, knowing you, I figured you already kind of had that in your mind.
No, I would probably want it to be on like July 25th.
On Marcy's birthday?
Yeah, it's like the middle of the year.
Okay.
Not too much this way, not too much that way. I feel that's a good, you know, metaphor to who we are.
Okay.
You know?
But let's make the 24th or the 26th, because I don't want it to be the same day as our friend's birthday.
Why not?
No, because then, you know, we get to have our day and she gets to have hers.
Right, but our day is only going to be a big deal the first year.
If you think I get a proclamation and I'm not going to commemorate it every year, you have not known me for 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we can talk about this week, whole elephant in the room.
And we totally, like
just, okay, so where were you when
the great social media outage,
the great social media outage of 2020? What? When?
2021.
After COVID,
you,
it's
actually,
like
I can tell you where I was when Instagram and Facebook went.
You were
down.
In the line in Wendy's, ready to have your potato with
no
cheese and
no,
broccoli.
I had to take my work laptop into the office.
No.
Okay. So I took it to the office, but you can't stay in the building. So I had to sit in my car. Uh-huh. So I was in my car for like 3 hours without anything to look at because social media was down.
I have to tell you,
it was nice, but I was like, I'm so bored.
What this outage proved to me, what I already knew, that I could live without social media. Mm-hmm. I like social media casually. We use social media for our podcast. I have other business ventures, if you will, that are associated with social media. So yes, in terms of jobs and all that,
yeah.
Fine. But I was totally okay. Now, WhatsApp is a different story.
Yes.
WhatsApp, I was like, where's my WhatsApp? Because I hate SMS texting.
Yeah, same.
Like, I hate it. It's like, do not send me something on regular text. Yes. First world problems. I know. Don't. And if it's a picture or video, don't you dare send it to me on SMS text. Like, don't. Yeah, for
texting. Yeah.
For texting, I did miss WhatsApp. But Instagram and Facebook? Oh, my God. Please.
Well, you're not even on Facebook.
I've never been on Facebook. Yeah. And you heard the whole thing with on 60 Minutes.
The whistleblower.
The whistleblower of Facebook.
But she didn't say anything that we didn't know.
I know. And yet we...
I love whenever these things come out like that. That was it last year that there was a documentary and people were just like, oh my God, I didn't know. I'm like, you didn't know?
This goes with the whole Facebook thing.
There's willful ignorance.
This goes with, you know, what we were talking a little while ago about the lady with the big hair.
Gwen Shamblin.
Right. Okay. Don't people know by now that everything you see on Facebook, unless it's a picture of somebody you know,
right,
it's like
modified,
fake or exaggerated or modified, mm-hmm, especially things that are political in nature. Like, don't you know that? I mean, it hasn't been a secret.
No, because everybody looks to... Again, remember, we've inculcated ourselves in these bubbles where we just get a loop back of whatever we want to hear.
Do you remember last year or the year before last, whenever, when the whole thing with the kids in the cages happened under the Trump administration, that this meme went around of Bill Clinton signing the Flores Act, right?
I remember, yes.
Right, of Bill Clinton signing the Flores Act, which wasn't even signed by him. It was signed by, it was really enacted under the George Bush administration, but whatever. You know, facts don't matter. And this meme went around of Bill Clinton signing the alleged Flores Act, and people were passing it around like hotcakes,
right,
and it was a Getty Images, and it actually said Getty Images. It had a watermark because it was like a very standard picture of him at the Resolute desk in the Oval Office.
It was a generic picture.
Signing a document, right? It was a very stock picture.
Generic president picture.
What it was.
Right.
And somebody took that. Like, I feel that that meme in particular was probably started by somebody on purpose. And it was like, you know, I'm going to fuck people and I'm going to even leave the Getty Images watermark. Like, I'm not going to make any attempt to make this legitimate.
But the thing is that leaving the Getty Image watermark makes it legitimate.
Oh, because now they think that it's a real picture.
Correct.
Right.
That's actually even more legitimizing.
Right. That's the way they're going to spin it.
Right.
Right.
Because if it's a stock photo, it must be true. Getty Images isn't going to have it if it's fake.
So all these people in call centers are that attractive and that happy?
I've worked in a call center. It's not that way.
Because I always love, so have I, and I always it's love not. When people are like, oh, call your customer service department. It's like, and it's all these like young, like very good looking people with like snazzy haircuts.
Yeah, like
and
I'm fresh like, looking. Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody in a call center
has looks ever looked like that.
Ever.
Ever. In the history of call centers. Yes. These people have never existed.
Never.
They've never existed in a call center. I don't care who you are, what you say. I don't care if you bring me proof of your time in a call center. It was never like that.
Ever. Yeah. And people ate that up. So I don't understand. Because you know what? Say what you will about mainstream news, ABC, NBC, CBS, that it exaggerates things. But their stories are based on some type of fact.
They're vetted.
Right? They're vetted.
They're vetted. If now, nothing else.
Are they? Do they have a bias? Maybe. Do they report on something, on certain topics too much? Yes. Do they not report on other things? Yes. Right. But it's not like these things are fiction.
Right. They're not making things up out of whole cloth.
Right.
Right. Right, right.
And the stuff on Facebook, it's like...
There's no vetting. It's not vetted. And
I always give the story of a time a few years back that I was in the car with my parents and my dad was like, se murió Don Francisco. And I was like, what? Because, you know, the day, knock on wood, that Don Francisco parts this
when
world.
When we get to that moment.
Many, 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 many years, we will have a national day of mourning.
It's true.
You want a national day of mourning?
Right. Wait for it.
And I was like, really? And I quickly put his name on Google.
Right.
And check and hit news, and nothing came up.
Right.
And I go to my dad, what did you find again? He's like, no, que se murió Don Francisco. I'm like, did you look that up on Facebook? Did you find that on Facebook? Right. And he's like, yeah, how did you know? And I'm like, right, because he didn't die. That's fake news. That really is fake news.
Yeah.
And he's like, pero como se va a hacer mentira si está en Facebook? And I'm like, oh, dear God.
Yeah, user generated content is not news.
I can't.
Also, how many people get like death hoaxes all the time?
So why did Facebook and all these things fall down?
When will
we fall down?
I don't know. I know they had to have given an explanation. But
that's like the white side of me.
But
I love Toad the White Sprocket.
Oh, like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's one of those bands that you love that I know exists, but I don't know their. I know like maybe the one single.
What song do you know of theirs?
No, I'm telling you. I know there's a single that they were like...
They have a bunch of songs. Toad the White Sprocket.
I'm being honest here. I don't...
Nothing So Loud.
That's the one. That's the one I know. That's it. I know they have like three albums.
And the air outside so cold.
But that's the only song.
Imagine everything.
Let me rephrase that. That is the only song all that I know I is theirs. I may have heard another song of theirs.
To feel this close. Do you know Walk on the Ocean?
Oh, yeah.
That's them.
Oh, okay.
Do you know... See?
Okay, see?
Do you
know,
Something's always wrong.
No, I don't think
something,
I know that one.
No?
Well, but look, I know two.
You know two? You knew more. Two. You knew twice as many as you thought you did.
As I started with. And that is progress, ladies and gentlemen.
I love Toad the White Sprocket.
They're like one of your favorite bands.
I love them, and I would love to see them in college. I'm sorry, in a concert at a college, you know?
The way like, it was back then.
Yeah, yeah. They're like my Dave Matthews, you know?
Do they even...
No, they broke up. Okay. I think that like...
The lead singer, Noise.
Now and then, they get together and do a few concerts, but
like a local.
Yeah. That's like, I didn't realize, wow, we're really like off the radar here. I didn't realize how big REM was.
Yes, I agree.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because obviously REM was,
I know what you're saying, but
was very big with losing my religion.
Right. And, you know, and
shiny, happy, right, have shiny people.
Everybody hurts.
Or is that the B-52s?
No, that's Kate from the B-52s. Right. But yes.
Everybody hurts. They were very big. And in the MTV era, their videos were huge.
Yeah, they were art. Yeah.
But what I didn't realize was that they had this like really, really big like white college.
Yeah, they were huge in Georgia.
You know, and are they from Athens, Georgia?
Yeah, Athens.
Mm-hmm. Like college white following. So because I guess that like when we started noticing them.
They were popular. Yeah,
they were already popular.
Yeah, they were mainstream.
We didn't know like.
The history.
I right. was like, oh, this is.
Yeah, they were your typical indie college radio band.
Yeah.
And by the time we knew them, they were top 40.
It's funny because Losing My Religion is one of those songs that when that song came out, we were kids.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it. But it's one of those songs that as you get older, it's like, oh, this is a good song.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like really good song.
I concur, sir.
Yeah. And then, you know, what's the other one, the depressing one?
Everybody hurts.
Everybody hurts.
Es un poco tonto la vena.
Literally.
Literally, yeah. Seriously. Like.
Wait. Oh. Shiny hat. Wait, which is... Which is the one about the world?
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Yes, is that them too?
I believe so. And that was yes, actually that was pre Losing My Religion.
Yes, that's from that's, the that, album No Time.
That
no.
that's like one of their that's Lose, one of their college radio songs.
I have one of their albums,
and it's probably either the one that has Losing My Religion no, or Everybody no, Hurts.
I have the orange one.
Oh, okay.
What's a frequency? Can it that one that came out in the '90s?
I don't know. I'm thinking of Whammy
in Miami.
Because it was a show that was called Kenneth's Frequency.
Oh, yes. Yes. Man. Life was good when it was Whammy in the Box.
It was.
What do you think is the video? Okay, so listeners.
I want to time travel, damn it.
Listeners, are we over time?
Well, I mean, it's our show.
listeners, listeners, if you made it this far, thank you for still
enjoy
joining
the ride.
Us,
yeah.
Right? Especially after you survived the Bond segment and the Bond party segment. So... If you guys remember, this could be the little thing you put on Instagram.
Oh, this is going to be
with the
it?
Audio,
okay.
Right? Okay. It could be this, right? Remember when The Box was like really in when like it was very popular in like the late 90s especially. Remember that when Ricky Martin's Maria came out
and it
Maria was on for like
it might still
months.
Be on.
Then it was Toni Braxton Unbreak My Heart.
Then?
Which was on for months. And then My Heart Will Go On came
Went
out.
On.
And then it was just on. Like when you would turn on The Box, it was just that was the only video playing. Oh, and I would always say, like, okay. So I want to watch My Heart Will Go On, but it's always on. So when I turn it on and it's on.
Why do I request it?
Why do I keep requesting it? It's there.
It's like, there. Just wait. It'll go.
Wait, no, you didn't have to wait. It was always on.
That's true.
Well, the great thing about The Box, though, I will say, is that I discovered a lot of music that I generally would have not discovered and been exposed to.
A lot of Latin rock.
Like a moñoñón. And let's be honest, Shakira.
Shakira.
Because Shakira's first album.
She came out.
Ojos, not Ojos Así. Pies de Calzo. No, her first album.
Los Ladrones.
No, which is Pies de Calzos, the one with Estoy aquí
queriendo. That was her first breakthrough.
Hablándome entre fotos y cuadernos, entre cosas y recuerdos que no puedo. Go, wow, I pulled that one.
You
off.
Really did. I was waiting for it.
That, like her, like that's when I first saw her.
Yeah. Mira, Latin rock, European pop, there was so many things that we discovered because of the
Paradiso.
Box.
Paradiso. Minerva.
Minerva. Do you know that?
Estoy llorando.
Fangoria redid that song.
Llorando por ti.
Recently.
By Minerva?
Yes. And I was like, okay, if Fangoria is redoing that song, then it must have made a very big impact in Spain.
Yeah. Mili was another one that, like, from Puerto Rico, that, you know.
Giselle.
Which one was Giselle?
The one who sang Olvídalo, Perdóname with...
Wait, the Merenburi Girls.
The Merenburi Girls. Come on. How do we...
Listeners, do you remember
the
Merenburi Girls?
The Merenburi Girls.
You can ring my bell.
I wonder what they're up to today.
You know what? They probably wanted to make them the next expose, and it just didn't happen.
You know what? I would bet $10... that one of our listeners is a former Merenburi Girl.
Or knows somebody that was a Merenburi Girl.
Yeah.
So Merenburi Girls, if
I'm
you're out
sure.
there,
we
this could
hear
also be
you.
Our second little thing that we put on Instagram. But listeners, like, weren't you listening to the box? I mean, it was freaking awesome.
It was on demand before on demand was a thing.
Yeah. It's just the demand for certain songs was just demanding.
Yeah, the problem is that your on demand was everybody's.
Yeah.
We all had to sit through what you wanted.
I would think about that. Like, I'm like, this would be like a great science experiment, like social experiment. Mm-hmm. If I am calling to request this song in this video, mm-hmm. and the song in video is always on, why do I keep requesting it? Like, why do people keep requesting it?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just the same person over and over again requesting it to lock up the TV.
Yeah. No, it was $1.79 per call.
You don't know. Maybe it was somebody who just really did not want to see Por un Café por
Relao. No. And I remember that the video of Maria that they played of Ricky Martin was not like the good video. Like
there was two videos. There was two versions.
The first version was, which is the one they played a lot, was the one that he was in... in like a concert.
It was like a concert footage.
And his hair was still longish.
Yes.
But then the second version was like the international version, which was like in black and white. Yes. And I think it was shot in Paris. It had much more. Oh, La Copa de la Vida was another one that when it came out, it was like, oh my God, like day and night. And great song.
But there's a great limit. Song. But there's a limit.
Great song. Yeah. I'm sure My Heart Will Go On is still playing somewhere.
Well, you know the whole thing of like it, with the way that TV frequencies work. Aliens and other planets now would have like a couple years back would have just been getting I Love Lucy. Right. So right now,
is this like light years?
They're probably
traveling light years.
They're probably just now getting the box, and it's just like, why do they keep playing this woman?
Wait, is this true?
Well, yeah. That, in theory, the way that frequency works, like
this is the last. You are contributing to the learn section of this week's.
Yeah, the way that frequencies work, the theory is that, you know, let's say in the late 90s, the signal of the old original I Love Lucy broadcast would have just been arriving to these other planets.
Right. So it's like light years.
It's like light years. Yeah. Yeah.
So My Heart Will Go On can be playing somewhere.
Can still be playing somewhere in this galaxy.
I'm not going to hate on it.
You know why?
I'm not going to hate on it.
Because she is the best singer in all the
world.
Look,
I'm not going to hate on it. And call me what you want. Say what you want. I actually like that song.
It's a beautiful song. I just don't need to hear it for 24 hours for a month.
What did you get more sick of? I Will Always Love You or My Heart Will Go On? I have a very good answer to that.
I'm going to go with My Heart Will Go On because I think My Heart Will Go On probably was played longer. Because, again, the phenomenon that was Titanic, even as much as they played...
The Bodyguard?
The Bodyguard.
Yeah. So you make a good point because as big as My Heart Will... I Always Love You was, there were other songs from that soundtrack.
Right.
Whereas Titanic, it was it.
That was it. You weren't getting Jack's theme on the radio.
But My Heart Will Go On, I did not get sick of it because when that song came out, I was much older. Right. And, you know, when I Always Love You came out, I was like a little teenager. If even, was I a teenager yet? Or barely. And I've always loved music and I've always been into CDs and all that stuff. And I, from a very early age, realized that when I really like a song, I don't listen to it. And I don't. That's like, smart. my favorite songs that I love aren't even in, like, my playlists.
You only take them out when you take out the special occasion comforter?
Exactly.
Right.
We're tying it back. I don't like to listen to them because I don't like to lose the unique, like, I don't know.
The love. You don't want to...
I feel that way about Angel by Sarah McLachlan, which is not even one of my favorite songs, but that
it's
song
very pretty.
It's very emotional. So it's like, I don't need to hear this song. And I don't mean it in a bad way.
It just, it puts you in a headspace you don't need to be in.
And now I think of abused puppies.
Exactly. I really don't want to be in that headspace.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about puppies being abused.
Yeah. No. But My Heart Will Go On was quite... And then, you know, remember that what happened with that song was that it was what it was. And then they started playing it with clips of the movie. With audio of the movie. So then that lived for like another 25 years. And I don't know if you remember, like you have to have a really good memory to do this. It was so popular, the one with like the clips of the movie, that then there was like a second version of it.
Oh, that I don't remember.
But yeah, by that time, you know, it was like
it was on the, I was the on
following
the
year, you know. So by that time, listen, Titanic is the only movie I've seen in multiple countries.
Really?
I saw Titanic in Spain and in Canada and in the United States.
Gaganos.
Yep. Because during its run, which was about 20 years,
right,
we went to Madrid,
right,
and they were playing it in Madrid, right, and we saw it in Spanish, and it was dubbed, and it was like, Jacques Rosa, Jacques Rosa, and I was like, oh my God. Ay, Jacques. Eres un boludo, Jacques.
No, that's Argentina.
Whatever. Rosa. Yes. And I saw it in Canada, as one does, in Toronto, at the Eaton Center.
Was it just them going like, hey, what's this ship about?
No. And Titanic, I saw in the theater. Well, you hate Titanic.
I do.
I think 7 times.
I saw it twice.
Why did you see it twice if you hate it?
Because whatever. One time and then it was with another group of friends. They're like, oh, let's go see it. I'm like, fine. It was that age where I didn't have many options for going out other than the movies.
No, I saw it 7 times. Well, actually, wait. Hold on. No, I've seen it more. I've seen it 9. Because when they re-released it in the theater the 15th anniversary or the 20th anniversary, that they did a re-release, right, that they digitally enhanced it and they like did what they did to it.
They added more icebergs.
Yes. I saw it twice.
You saw it twice in the re-release?
Yes. Yeah, and I would have probably seen it more.
Jiminy Christmas. Did I get that in Ghana? That's all I have to say.
I just thought, you know, it would be great if they, whatever, listeners. So one of the biggest, I guess our listeners should know this.
They should.
Things that Ish and I, like, we don't really argue too much about.
We don't bring it up.
It will end like celebrity deathmatch on MTV. It will not end well. Is that I love the movie Titanic. And he hates it.
I hate it.
And like you really hate it.
I think it's one of the most overblown, overrated pieces of crap. But that's why we don't talk about it.
Let's not talk about
That's why we don't talk about
it. Talk about it. Yeah. Won, you know, like 1,000 Academy Awards. But anyway, and BAFTAs. Anyway, let's move on to the next topic. Or are we thirsty
You know what? I think that we were going to work up a thirst before we get angry.
Yes, yes.
We get angry.
I want something icy.
Icy, like the iceberg.
Like the iceberg.
Way to tie it back. All right. So do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? All right. So I'm also similar to last week. I'm going to go ahead and give my last thought to something a little personal. So yesterday, this literally happened. 2 days ago, actually. Well, yesterday, fake Friday, but 2 days ago. So I went to my car. You know, I'm going to the gym and I get in my car and whatever, you know, I'm traqueteando and getting ready and whatever. And I notice that there's like a folded piece of paper on my windshield, you know, with the wiper. And my first thought is like, you know, hey, propaganda, you know, so whatever. So I get out and I get the paper and I see that it says, please call. And it has a phone number, but it's handwritten. So it's like somebody, you know, grabbed a piece of paper in their car and whatever. And immediately I was like, oh shit, somebody hit my car. So I went and I looked around my car and efectivamente, I didn't even notice it. It's my left rear fender has a little dent. It's not that big of a deal. I didn't even notice it when I walked to the car and I walked right past it. But whatever. So I called the guy and, you know, we're getting it fixed. But I'm just giving it to this person because, you know what? He very easily could have just hit my car, kept going and not even thought about it. It's not like there was a camera where I live, you know, watching it, our every move or anything like that. And yet, no, he left me a note, you know, to make sure that he could get in touch with me and offered to fix, you know, the fender and all of that. And so, I don't know, just kind of restored a little bit of my faith in humanity and kindness that there's still people out there who will do something like that. You know, when faced with that opportunity to really hit and run without any witnesses, he didn't. So I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, I'm giving it to this gentleman for basically being a decent human being. So that's my last soda.
To the unknown denter.
Yes. Well, I mean, I know his name now. I have his number. But, you know, again...
Did you call him?
Yeah, I already called him. No, yeah, no resuelto. He referred me to a body shop down in... I forget where. But, yeah, that he knows, and he's going to tell the guy my information, and we're just going to get it, you know, taken care of, so... But I don't know. It just kind of restored a little bit of my faith in humanity, that there are still people out there who will do the right thing.
Well, no, there are.
I know, but I think so often we get bombarded with the opposite of that.
Right, because it's what we talk about.
With Facebook, yeah.
Right. It's what we talk about. So, actually, my last soda, I'll make it short and sweet. I was talking to you about this, I think, before we started recording. My last soda goes out to Tony Bennett.
Oh.
So, I saw an interview of him this week with Anderson Cooper, and his Alzheimer's is... It's pretty advanced in so far that, you know, it's
and
you
can tell he's
not mostly there anymore. But in the interview, it's quite remarkable that when they start playing music, like, he becomes alive again. Like, it's Tony Bennett.
He's on.
And but I think the bigger picture is that, you know, I think it's really neat that we were able to witness for so many years, well, for all of our lifetime, basically, the career of such a gifted and such a great legend, right? Because so many times, you know, like, we think of, like, Elvis Presley and, like, all these icons and legends that were before our time, right? And way before our time. And we're like, oh, wow, imagine that person when they were active, an active recording artist, prime, whatever. Yeah. You know, and we got to, I mean, I've never seen Tony Bennett live, but we were part of that. Like, we could say, oh, I remember when Tony Bennett sang with Lady Gaga, and I remember when he did MTV Unplugged.
I was going to say, he had an Unplugged,
you know, and all that. And you know, because he is going to be one of those legends, like, and the Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra, you know.
I don't think
that
he's had any, like, controversies that I can think of either. So he's somebody who's just been a performer. Like, I'm here, I'm performing, and, you know... No bad press, shall we say.
And it's so interesting because, like, I've always thought that, like, jazz is such an interesting... I love, you know, who doesn't love jazz?
Yeah.
But it's such America's an interesting genre of music because, like, somebody like Tony Bennett, it's not somebody that has, like, this great range. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could even say the same thing about Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
It's not like he had this, like, great voice, but it's just they had, like, this innate, like, musicality in them and tone and stuff like that that was just perfect for what they were doing.
And what is it that they do? What are they?
What?
They're crooners.
A crooner, yes.
It's one of your favorite things.
One of my favorite things. In my next lifetime, I'm going to be a crooner. I'm going to be Michael Bublé. Michael Bublé, I've always told you, if we're going on. Like, everybody's always, like, when you're like, oh, I wish I could be this singer.
Right.
I wish I could be this performer. Oh my God, I would love to dance like this person. I was like, no, if I could be anyone, it'd be Michael Bublé. I think Michael Bublé is such a badass.
Mira, he's a good singer. He's funny. He can do comedy. You know, he can act. He's attractive. He seems like buena gente, más o menos.
He's Canadian. I mean,
you know, he likes sparkling water.
Yeah. Like, I remember I saw Michael Bublé at the Detroit Masonic Temple in 2005. This was like, when I mean the cusp of him becoming Michael Bublé, I think it was like the week before that, like, feeling good was enormous.
Chiripa, you saw him before me because you were in Detroit and the tour came to Fort Lauderdale, I think, like 3 weeks later.
Right. And because when I say that, it was like the week before he became like a superstar. I really think it was like the week before because it was at the Detroit Masonic Temple. Like, they let us go up to the, you know, it's like a theater. Yeah. But, like, you could put your hand on the stage.
It was like the Parker Playhouse type of situation. Yeah.
Like, you could go, you were like literally up, you could put your chin and your hands like on the stage.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And he was like freaking amazing. Yeah. And I'm like, freaking love this guy.
You're
like,
welcome.
Yes, you. I first heard and saw Michael Bublé because of you.
Yes,
but I would either want to be Michael Bublé or like Usher.
Wow, that's such different sides of the spectrum there.
No, but I would probably want to be Michael Bublé. Michael, like, he's a crooner. Like, who doesn't want to be a crooner?
It's true. Michael Bublé is not really a dancer, so there's a little less pressure.
As what?
He's not a dancer, so there's a little less pressure.
Yeah, all you have to go out is
and be cool. Entertain people. Just be cool. You know, like, there's an expectation with Usher that he's gonna dance.
Yeah, Usher has to like bring the house down.
Right, on top of everything else.
Yes.
You know, so
Michael Bublé just goes out in a suit and sings "Feeling Good," and you know,
everybody
good.
Melts and everybody's.
Why do I feel there's somebody that we know that does not like Michael Bublé? But anyway,
I'm sure if we think about it.
Anyway, well. Let's end it there.
Yes, yes, Mom. End it on Michael Bublé, episode 177.
Wow. What we started with and what we ended with.
Isn't that just our way?
Yeah. So anyway, we hope everybody listened, laughed, and learned. And as always, grab your croqueta, your pastelito, and your cafecito. And thank you for joining us, everybody. Have a great weekend. Pero Friday. Have a great, yes, great one.
Yes. Cuídense, mi gente. Bye. Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.